Then we get ready for puja chanting. Let us compose our mind here, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma buddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Amesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin Pujayami Munindas Siri Pada Sarorohe Mi Bedang Kesumena Nena Punena Matena Chohotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante.Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamangNow let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of pure clear water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May this morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Then significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the affinity to receive them.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can off the light. And you can have half an hour of meditation, formal meditation. Okay, we are off the light. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those seven up, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atragacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Mo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Titi peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhammasarti Deva Manosana Buddha Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Panaiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Kasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Vyaditang Chatari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pukala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho ahoneyo pahoneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anotarang punyaketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gemma. Buddhang pujemi, Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. What happened? I think the system got some distortion, cracking sound. Normally we don't have tonight. Okay, don't worry. Just relax yourself. Yeah. Then maintain some more attention. Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting. Yeah. Followed by any question if you have Q&A. Okay, you can just put up your hand if you want to report your meditation or ask whatever relevant question. Anybody want to report meditation? As usual, required. If you all don't want to report your meditation, then you have to let me know what is it that you want me to talk on. What about the meditation? Are you all clear? You have to report your meditation, otherwise very difficult to guide you along. You just keep quiet. Nobody know what you are doing. You just have to report exactly how you do the meditation. You don't have to add in anything. Then whatever you don't understand, you just ask. It's very simple, as simple as that. Anybody? Where is the mic, the wireless mic? Oh, the mic is there. Let me use that mic better. This one got distortion. Keep on cracking sound. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Ah, okay. Ah, still got. Then no different. It's okay. Amy, I pass back to you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes the contact, but never mind. Just let it be, not a serious issue. Anybody wants to report your meditation or ask any question? Or any particular Dhamma topic that you want to understand, you can make your request. It's better for you all to respond, otherwise I also don't know what you want. Pass the mic. Yes, good. Pass the mic to Pamasri. She will share something.
Good afternoon, good evening, Bratio and Kayanamita.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know whether it's worth sharing or not. It's just,
You can share overall.
Have you some
idea?
This happened at the airport a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
And I used to send my children away. I try not to stir. The feeling is so hard. So every time I stir, I try to silence my mind. So recently, a few days, I think about a week ago, Ming Jun went back. This time, I feel it's so different already.
Yeah.
So I feel that when she go, I just give her a hug, then not that kind of feeling. You know, it's like spontaneously no more stirring inside here. It's like still and it's so calm. And just let her, see her walking, you know.
Not like before.
Not like before.
This can happen. Yeah, this can happen. Because when you have the understanding, you are different. Yeah. And when you are different, your heart also become different. One thing we have to understand is maybe it brings about a condition for me to explain. You see, as you go through life, there are many things that will happen to you. Then as you learn from life, with every experience you encounter, if you are mindful, if you are sensitive, you can see how you change over time. Especially if you are a cultivator, Dhamma practitioner, you realize that your emotion are no longer like before. Small thing can make you very like emotional or very excited. Especially when it comes to your loved ones. Sometimes when they have to leave you, maybe for further study, like Pamasuri's daughter, then they also got another children, their son. So in time of separation, you can feel it. Even though this is just temporary separation for study, for further study, actually it's for something better, for their future and all those things. But because of your attachment, because of your love for them, because they are your children, you miss them. So this type of feeling can arise. And these are very common human problem. Because as a human being, you have the thought process. The Buddha called it the mind, the consciousness. And this consciousness has its aggregates within. It's capable of feeling. And because it is capable of feeling, it can become emotional. Emotional in many sense. Positive, negative. And sometimes the attachment can cause you to become unhappy. Then you feel like you are going to miss her for a period of time. Then because of the attachment, you realize when you come home, on your way back, the thought will linger on. Then when you are back in your home, it doesn't stop. Yeah, every time you have your dinner, you look around, she is missing. And sometimes you will recall how cute she is and all those things. But then when you miss a person, you will normally recall the good thing, the cute thing that happened. But when you are with them, the human problem is you get angry, you get unhappy, you want to discipline them or you want to control them and do all those things. So the human mind, actually, like the Buddha say, it depends on the condition behind. And you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. This is what we are interested in as a Dhamma practitioner. You have to understand how you function as a human being. If you lack wisdom, you lack understanding, then you will do the usual thing, born of delusion, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. But as you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, the understanding, then you will come to a very clear understanding that can transform you and make you very different. You will look at the reality. The reality is they have to go for study. They have to leave you for a while. If you can't even come to terms with that reality, then there are a lot more severe type of reality that can manifest. That's why the Buddha, under the teaching, he described under the First Noble Truth, not only old age, sickness and death, or birth, old age, sickness and death, the four common reality of humanity. If you live life long enough, the Buddha said, you will encounter or you will confront birth, old age, sickness and death. If you confront them without wisdom, suffering will arise. It can torment living beings, especially getting old, getting sick, and finally fearing death. So this is the first four reality, and these are very common, and these are very real problems, unless you understand it deeply and know how to really confront it. When this reality hits, most human beings suffer, and most of them miserably. Yeah. There is a lot of sorrow, a lot of tears, a lot of memory and all those things. Then when this happens, that separation is not temporary, it's permanent. Then you will like miss that person, and it can go on in your thought process for very long. That's why a lot of people, they like lost themselves, go into depression, go into severe mental problem. Yeah. They felt life is like different, no more. Then the projected fear is the worst. Without my spouse, without my children, how am I to go on with my life? Especially if you depend on them. You miss them. You look at the Singapore Prime Minister, Lee Kuan Yew, is a very good example. Such an intelligent person, such a successful person, such a great intellect, yet in his own memories, he mentioned it, because his wife played such a great role in his life, and he really, really loved the wife so much, and they are both very, very bright and very brilliant people. That's how attachment can bring about all this. So what the Buddha is trying to explain to you is very important. He said the fifth reality, the reality of separation from your loved one, from your prized possession, from the thing that you hold on to dearly. You cannot see their universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering state. And because they are impermanent, is non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. Then you will come to a very clear understanding that within the conditioned world, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. That's why it's impermanent. And because it's impermanent, you cannot hold, you cannot cling, you cannot want thing your way. And it shows very clearly there is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to and cling on to. Even your own form and mind, doesn't belong to you. How can your children, your loved one, your spouse, your whatever relationship you have, be real? Sooner or later, condition will arise for separation to occur. That's why the Buddha asks us to constantly reflect every day. The daily five contemplation, the fourth one, he said you have to reflect and contemplate. Separation is a reality sooner or later. Whatever that we hold on to dearly, maybe our loved ones or prized possession or things that we give a lot of meaning, when conditions is to be, they will separate from us. Sometimes you don't have to wait till they separate from you. When your own breath stop, or when you die, you also cannot own them anymore, because you were separate from them. So the reality of separation need to be understood deeply. That's why once you develop the mindfulness, the cultivation, then you are able to insight into the universal characteristic of all phenomena, especially the universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering, non-self and empty nature. Once you have awakened to it, penetrated, your mind becomes different, it can liberate. That's why I mentioned at the beginning when I tried to answer Pamasuri's sharing the time. I mentioned, if you have the Dhamma, you realize you can become different. You will not be like before, so emotional, so attached. And all these things become easy to handle, because this is a reality. Reality means condition like that, things will be like that. If you accept the reality, then there is no more delusion. No more delusion means no more sakyadity, self-delusion. To arise a thought, to project, to give meaning, to hold, to grasp, and become afflicted by it, or emotional over it. Even after you send her off on the way back, the reality is she has gone over to study. That is the reality. You cannot come to terms with that reality, the thought will continue, linger around, and create all this attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. And this is how sankhara operate. That's why the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara, mental state, mental activity, they are impermanent, not real. If you attach, cling, and grasp through delusion, if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, suffering will arise. That's how the universal characteristic come about. And because it's impermanent, sankhara is impermanent, it will lead to suffering if you continue to give meaning. You continue to grasp and cling and hold on to it. Because thought can project and make it look very real. What is thought? Thought is just consciousness and its content. Just an image. But through delusion, it creates the image that conditions you to deludedly grasp and hold and give meaning. That's how feeling will be conditioned into emotion, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. Then the thought will tell you, oh, how nice is she is still around. Then sometimes the mind, through the thought process, will create more. Wow, how come it takes so long? How nice if the time can pass by very fast. So you keep on creating more and more of this sankhara thought process, which is no more a reality. But through your self-delusion, through your attachment, craving, clinging, you are not able to understand all this. You are not able to be with the moment in pure awareness to understand what is going on. That's why you fail to live life. You cannot live because you don't understand. And when you don't understand, you totally miss out on life. That's why you think a lot. That's the reason why I always share with you, you check moment to moment what happened. The Buddha already mentioned the only reality in life is only the present moment. The other two, they are not a reality, past and future, like we have gone through. Past is no more a reality because it is an event that has taken place. Then future is something that hasn't happened, yet to come. Whatever that arises and happens is always in the moment. If you cannot have this ability to be silent, to be within the moment, to feel the life, to experience life, to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, you'll be caught in delusion. That instead of maintaining awareness and mindfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, you have to reflect and contemplate and even develop the mindfulness to understand clearly what are you doing within the moment throughout the day, all the time. That's why I used to tell you all, you go and check, you will find out. Human beings are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. They keep on playing with sankhara, the thought process, the emotion, the reaction, the stirring, preoccupied with what the thought tell you. Then memory, phobia, fear, worry, anxiety, running around, worry about this, worry about that. Then afflicted here, afflicted there. Creating your own fear, creating your own illusion. And this is not life. This is heedless living, the Buddha said. Not until you see all this clearly and wake up, then decide, tell yourself, this is my life. I must make that choice, that decision to understand all this so that I can really, really live life. And I can live life with clear understanding. Then life will become very different. Then no more of this heedless living, no more of this delusion, craving, clinging, attachment, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, emotional negativity and all those things, phobia, insecurity. All the negativity of mind state, they cannot arise because they are all created by thought. Through delusion, through attachment, through craving, through clinging. So cultivation demands a lot of understanding. And this understanding can only come by when you are ever mindful from moment to moment, just like what Krishnamurti described. You have to be ever mindful of every thought, every feeling that arises. Every conditioning and movement. That's why during the cultivation that time, the daily mindfulness has to be very stable to see all this and to understand all. Then all of a sudden, you will like awaken. You will like all of a sudden let you understand. No wonder the Buddha say this. And this is attachment. This is craving. This is clinging. So what Padmasari has gone through is very good. She can see the difference now. And for you to have that ability, you must have certain type of understanding behind. Otherwise, you cannot. Otherwise, the old feeling, the old emotion will take over, will overwhelm you. I still remember the daughter Min Chun. She used to have a lot of attachment to both relative and Padmasuri. She really cried. Every time she got to leave them, she really cried. But that is life, understand? She is still young. She will go through that phase. But different people, different, understand? Different children, different condition, different things are different. I still remember when I was in Form 6. After I did very well in Form 6, I was given a place in University of Malaya Engineering Faculty, and I chose civil engineering. So when I got the admission letter, the reply from the university after we make the application, of course there was joy. I was able to get what I want to study. Then I don't have this thought like people feel, I will be separated from my parents and all those things. I don't know why. I don't have such thought. For me, I just going on to pursue my tertiary education. And I've been very fortunate to be given a government, Kedah State, they call it the bursary or the loan. Because in our Kedah State, for non-Malay, we only got one scholarship and 9 loan or bursary. So I was given one. Then when I told my father was very happy. They also don't felt that they missed me or they cried. No, nothing. When I told my dad, he was very happy. My mom too was very happy. Then they can't help me because they are illiterate. They also don't know where Kuala Lumpur is, University of Malaya is. I also don't know where. I had to find out myself. But there was no fear. There was no attachment or craving or clinging and all those things. Then because I'm English educated, my father only know Mandarin. My wife can actually confirm this for you. I hardly wrote any letter back to my father until I get to know my wife. Then she Mandarin educated, Chinese school. And that is also the reason why this nature inside knew my wife must know Mandarin. So she helped me to write 1 or 2 letters in a year back to my dad. Because I told my dad, I write in English, you cannot understand. Last night, I don't have WhatsApp phone where you can make call or they call what? Video call. Video call. Cannot. So that was the era that we were in, 1970s. I remember I came down in 1975. But then as we progress, society become different. We become more affluent. Understand that? Last time my parents, I think most Chinese family, you know, we got 8, 9, or 10 brothers and sisters, some more than a football team. You think our parents got time for us or not? You better take care of yourself. And my mom used to say, don't worry, the crime is good. And I said, let them cry. What is important is, you say, when they are hungry, feed them. Then when they need to, pass motion or what, take care of them. Then if they are sick, of course, you have to do something. But apart from that, they don't care. But nowadays, our generation different now. Normally took it, someone. Then very rare you see 3 or 4. Very rare. But of course, those in the rural area, I think they still got big family. Yeah? So certain race, they still got big family. But nowadays, because we have one or two, you become one. You start to pamper them, understand? And when you pamper them indirectly, you are attached to them, understand? And you cling unknowingly. That's why if you got only one or two, if you lose one, it is going to affect you a lot. Yeah. Where I saw one family, he was 5 or 6 years my senior, JKI engineer also. He got 2 sons only. Then his first son, I think, did quite well, went to Canada. And he stayed there very long. Then the second son was with him. So at that time, the second son was studying, I remember, in the second year college. But the second son got a girlfriend in Klang. And that time he liked to drive motorbike. So almost every night, or alternate night or what, I'm not sure. But very often, he will drive down to Klang with the motorbike and bring the girlfriend to the SS2 house, stay near my place. Then send her back at night, I'll see. Then one day when this JKR friend of mine, he was playing badminton, I remember he told me, with the wife. All of a sudden, the wife received a very, very bad news that the son got an accident. Motorbike accident. I think accident with a lorry. And died. Yeah. I tell you, that incident completely destroyed him. He lost his life. He became very haggard. He used to be very energetic, play badminton a lot, and very healthy person, very cheerful, very joyful. Quite a successful guy. He retired from JKR. Then he, I think, operate his own consulting firm and other things. And quite a successful person because when he graduated, I think he already owned property. When I was in second year, we stayed at his house, rent his house. So you can see the tremendous impact to a person when this thing happened. So as society evolves, we have to develop the understanding. Without the Buddha Dhamma, you can end up miserable. Yeah? That's why this teaching is something you have to really understand, find out. Then you will treasure it a lot. You will cherish it a lot. You will have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha. And you will thank the Buddha for this wonderful teaching that can allow you to have this type of understanding, that can free your mind completely from all this possibility of suffering, born of self-delusion, attachment, craving, clinging, even your fear, your phobia, your stress, or whatever life-related reality problem that the Buddha mentioned under the First Noble Truth Reality. They are like the secret of life, the Four Noble Truths, when you understand them. And when you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life. Well, his essence of his teaching is very simple. He just wants to explain to you clearly what life is. That's why the First Noble Truth talks about reality of life and existence. So the 8th type of reality, you have to go through and expand on it, especially the final summary. It will cover all aspects of your life, all aspects of the mundane. Then finally, when you develop that clear understanding, awaken, even the supramundane, you will understand. That's why he said, there is this First Noble Truth that explains to you clearly about life, the reality of life and existence. And this reality, if you live long enough, every living being they must confront. And when you confront them without the understanding, that reality, that noble truth of suffering is going to afflict you, is going to torment you, and cause a lot of suffering in you. This mental suffering and physical suffering, they are very real. And they are very, very, you call it what? Prevalent among society. That's why the first noble truth, sometimes people call it the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere. Every family. Like the Mandarin saying, jia jia you ben nan. There is no family that is without problem. Then the other one is what? Zhen zhen got what? Semo jing. Everybody got their own. Hen nan nian de jing. Ben nan nian. What is the meaning of ben nan? Use the mic and there's a Mandarin saying,
Jia jia you ben nan nian de jing. Every family has difficult to decide.
So all this is exactly what the Buddha is trying to teach living beings. The message is very clear. This is the noble truth of suffering. And it's all over the world, everywhere, in the midst of life and existence, society. You cannot escape if you don't have the understanding of his teaching. Because according to the Buddha, through self-delusion, in the final summary of the first noble truth, is it you will grasp and cling and hold on to the five degrees of form and mind, thinking that it's you, it's real. That's why this can make you emotional, miserable, fearful. A lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. It can make you restless, have phobia, insecurity, and deep sense of separation because of the attachment, the clinging, the grasping, the delusion. Then you fear death. You fear this body getting old, getting sick and die. And you don't have the understanding to confront life as you age, as you develop disease, sickness, especially traumatic disease and other things. Then of course, pending death, fear of death. There's a lot of fear. Fear of separation. Fear of being bonded through disease and all those things. Bedridden. Then fear of having problems that's related to aging. As you age, you develop a lot of problems. Your senses fail you. You start to develop a lot of problems. You not only become more sick, you become more useless. You start to suffer a lot of things. Rheumatism, backache, all sorts of ache. Then dementia, you lose memory. Sometimes you forgot who you are, where you are. Then you worry about heart attack, kidney failure. HIV, things you eat also you fear, food poisoning and all those things. Then now with a lot of WhatsApp video, all those things, that's why today I was with my wife having Japanese food. Then she reminded me, hopefully the sashimi don't have those things. They saw on the video about the contamination of all this food in Japan. I said, if you go and recall to memory all this, you might say, don't live life. Understand? You must take care of karma. Understand? Then karma take care of you. Whatever will be, will be. That fear is a projection of the thought. It's not going to help you. But you don't try to be a hero. You understand? You have to avoid the condition. Because you never know the form and mind in the distant past must have done a lot of nonsense, understand not? Karmic negativity and fallen. If you don't avoid the condition, when there is condition, things can happen. But if you had developed your cultivation so well that you have been cultivating for maybe eons and eons of beautiful life understanding, and then all this while you just follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and you purify your mind to develop wisdom, then every life you come, you don't add on all the karmic thing. Or even as an initial cultivator, you don't have any more severe heavy karma. Whatever you have is minor, very minor. Then you start to endure and severe all suffering through wisdom, through understanding. So you pay back whatever karma that need to be paid back. Then you ask for forgiveness, repentance, to amicably dissolve all this karmic negativity from the past. And then your life will become different. Then from then on, every life you come, you become beautiful. Where you have this understanding, like this nature come, this life, is so beautiful, so perfect, like everything is going this nature's way. And I used to share with you all, you say luckier. Even allow you to plan yourself, you also cannot plan until your life becomes so perfect and like so lucky. It's nothing to do with luck, understand not? Everything is based on understanding. That's why when you have this understanding, this wisdom, then you can develop the perfection of adhittana, or what they call aspiration, affirmation, determination. And when you know how to make full use of this perfection, you can aspire for causes and conditions, for a lot of things to arise, to happen. And it will help you to develop the understanding of the cultivation. It will help you to progress along the path of Dhamma very fast. And it can help pave the way for many, many things to happen. That's why you know how to use that perfection, adhittana, or determination, affirmation, aspiration. Then fulfill all the beautiful vows. Then you can come with all those good conditions, this beautiful understanding, and your form and mind, every life it comes, is so beautiful, so wonderful. That's what the Dhamma is all about. So according to the Buddha, the first noble truth, he explained the reality of life and existence. And you have to understand this noble truth very clearly. And you have to really cultivate, to liberate your mind, so that you understand how he summarized all of suffering. He said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this fine aggregate of form and mind, or the human being, or the living being, thinking that it's real, it's you. And this one you must understand, you must penetrate, you must awaken to, then only you can free. So due to this self-delusion, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp and hold on to this fine aggregate of form and mind. That's why in the second noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed, it is due to this self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling, that arise craving, which is the cause of all suffering. Without craving, which is attachment, grasping, clinging, positive and negative, that is the cause of suffering. So the second noble truth is very clear. The Buddha said, whatever that happened to you, there is a cause behind. And that cause is delusion, self-delusion. Then with regards to your life, the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So we need to take care of karma, and we need to understand this law of karma deeply. Otherwise, you will become afflicted, miserable. There is no way out. As long as you are not clear about this nature's law of karma, where this is the law that governs all of life and existence. And the Buddha makes it very clear. Every aspect of our life depends on this law of karma. Because we are born of it. We inherit everything that karma brings along. Then we are what we are every moment, every instant. Then this law of karma conditions us. That's why we are conditioned. Born of the karma, heir to the karma, conditioned and supported by karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant because of karma. So karma plays such a great role in your life. It's almost 99.999%. If you don't take care of karma, you are going to regret. You are going to be in tears. And you are going to be miserable, afflicted. There is no way you can break free unless you cultivate the understanding and the Buddha Dhamma. That's why the Buddha moved on and proclaimed the third noble truth. He said, under this third noble truth, suffering need not be. All of suffering can cease, can end. Because he has realized this truth. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. This is very assuring. This is what can give you the understanding and the hope. That's why life can become wonderful, beautiful. Because there is this noble truth that explains clearly this possibility. And the Buddha has done it. He has realized it. That's why he can share this with you. He said, this noble truth can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. Then he moved on to the final fourth noble truth. He said there is a noble eightfold path, which is the meditation as taught by him. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why the whole of meditation is noble eightfold path, nothing else. And what is noble eightfold path? Eight beautiful path factors coming together to develop the understanding. That's why whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it cannot take you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Once you have the correct cultivation and the understanding, the Noble Eightfold Path will be with you. You will hold that Noble Eightfold Path. The form and mind will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. You will have right view with regards to all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. The three most important spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma, means all the truth. The essential truth is the Four Noble Truths. That's why law of karma, karma niyama, citta niyama, followed by Dhamma niyama. These three laws, they are universal. Then you want to add on another dimension to your life, you must also know the other two, physical and biological order, the scientific law that governs all other aspects of existence. The spiritual law governs the spiritual aspect. Like law of karma, it governs mental intention, moral causation. Whatever that involves the mind with mental intention, it becomes the law of karma. That's why mind makes ade. And the Buddha makes it very clear. He said, it is chitena, mental intention, that I call karma, nothing else. It's your mental intention behind. Then when you have this right view, you will know how to live your life. You will know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. And purify the mind. If you have this right view, you will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how you become afflicted by what you do through your own self-delusion that condition your grasping, clinging, and holding on to all this, which are not a reality. That's why the whole world It's a phenomenal world of consciousness, not what you think. It's an illusionary world. Mind make a day. When you have all this understanding, you become different. Then straight away, you will know how to live life. That's why you will have to develop the ability to develop all the other Noble Eightfold Path factors. You will be able to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and the right livelihood or living, the right way to live life. All born of understanding, wisdom. Then you will constantly arise the four right effort to purify your thought process, your action, your speech, and your livelihood. Abandon the unwholesome one. Prevent them from arising when you have developed the understanding. Then after that, cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are not still not in you. Then the right effort to refine upon them and perfect upon them. And all these are in the Bodhisattva vow. When you take the vow, all this you will be doing. Yeah. You went beyond the normally cultivated. Yeah. You not only cultivate goodness, virtue, you also refine upon them and perfect them all. Then wisdom also is not only about your own awakening. It's about understanding, cultivating and penetrating all Dhamma so that you can develop the perfection of wisdom to have the all-knowing understanding of life. Means not only you have wisdom to liberate your mind, you must perfect whatever possibility of wisdom. That's a perfection of wisdom. Prajna paramita. Prajna is wisdom, perfection of wisdom. You are not only cultivating to be awakened, to be wise, but you have to cultivate until you perfect all this understanding of awakening, yeah, or enlightenment. That's why the Bodhisattva way is a lot more deeper, a lot more challenging, rewarding, as compared to normal cultivation. That's why the way of Bodhisattva leading to Buddhahood, it is very, very unique, very beautiful. Then, of course, you have to be ever mindful. You have to be heedful, ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you have right sati leading to right samadhi. When sati and samadhi is there, you can see things as they are. Then you can have the stability of mind. The mind that has samadhi is unwavering, collected. And it can see things as they are and understand the truth. That's why it can awaken. It can realize whatever that is to be understood. So all this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. You will have noble qualities as a noble one. That's why the enlightened ones are called noble ones during the time of the Buddha. Noble in all aspects of life. Very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they have all this right view with regards to all the laws that governs life and existence, especially the spiritual law. Then they have very noble and eloquent speeches. They are very noble in their way they carry themselves, they express themselves through right speech, right action, and right thought. And they live the noble life of a noble ones. They have great noble qualities. They are truly beautiful beings, yeah, with all the virtues. They have love, they have compassion, they have wisdom, they have understanding. They are very kind, very compassionate, very loving. And they are very generous. Yeah. Then they hold on to their vows to be of blessing to the world, to all of humanity and living beings. That's why enlightened beings are different. They are really different There is no more delusion, no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living beings. That's why they can go all out and do things differently. Where they know this is from a mind, karmically conditioned out for them to come, a tool and a vehicle for them to come to do whatever is to be done. Then they are not deluded by it. They will not grasp and cling and hold. That's why they know how to use it and yet not afflicted by it. Not deluded by it. So all this is what this teaching is all about. So from just one example, just our Padmasuri gave us, you can zero in into the whole teaching. But one thing I want you all to understand is, all this understanding has to come over a period of cultivation, where you have really stabilized the understanding, transformed, and have the understanding. Then you will feel the difference. You will know you have become different. The form and mind has become different. But a lot of people, the danger is, when they hear this type of sharing, they want to like develop the same understanding. So they go and think, they go and reflect, they go and like contemplate. But actually they are using knowledge to analyze, to reason. Then they try to be like that and sort of. Then next time they see their children or they go to airport, Yan! Means they try not to show the emotion. But deep inside actually still missing them. If you don't have mindfulness to see all this, this is not cultivation. Understand? This is still suppression. This is still the thought trying to behave like they have the understanding. So that is the part that you have to avoid. But if you are sincere, if you develop the mindfulness, you will know one. Cannot run on. That's why I used to tell all these people who really want to know what the real cultivation is. I say, with mindfulness you can check whether you still got greed or not. You still got fear or not. You still got anxiety or not? You still got attachment, craving, clinging? Very obvious, understand? You depend on your thought, no use one, understand? Your thought will tell you, "Hey, no more fear, no. I'm not different from last time, you know. Oh, my daughter want to go anywhere, do anything. I don't care, you know. Let them do." The moment you say, "I don't care," you gone already, understand? Because you don't have the understanding. You can love them, you can care for them, but you don't attack. You know it's from a mind. From a mind. And that is the wisdom. Not knowledge. Knowledge or not, I tell you. You can find out yourself. That's why this teaching, the Buddha say, the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. You can never lie. You can never deceive yourself. You can check yourself. It's so obvious there. True or not? If you still have self-delusion, still have greed, anger, fear. If you are mindful, anytime you will detect one. Cannot run one. Then why do you still want to know, pratyula, that correct or not? I cultivate, then I got this experience. That's why I said to me, if you still got doubt, chances is it's not the real one. The real one, no doubt one. But doesn't mean you cannot ask, you understand? Because as you cultivate, you have to ask. You have to inquire deep. Otherwise, nobody can point out your mistake. Nobody can guide you. That's why, don't be shy. Who is shy? Who is shy? Your thought, your ego, understand? That's why paise jagaki, correct one. The Hokkien one is correct one. You know Hokkien, isn't it? Paise jagaki. You yourself lose out, understand? Because you are shy. And who is shy? The thought is shy. the sincere mind of a cultivator who just want to understand is not shy on, understand or not? Not fearful. It will reflect, it will contemplate. Then it will inquire. Then it will ask questions. Yeah. Because it knows how to investigate. Then when you investigate until you yourself know you cannot move already, you need somebody to advise you. Then you ask. Then that person who has the Dhamma can advise you. He can explain to you why you are like that and how you are caught in all this. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Okay? 10:05. Still got 20 over minutes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all should rejoice. Tonight one very good. This one will make you develop a lot of deeper understanding and urgency in your cultivation. But the cultivation is so simple when you understand. And when you have mindfulness, like I say, you cannot lie to yourself, you cannot cheat. You can check on your own. You don't need anybody to tell you. All this, you can be aware of. That's why when you are mindful, your sankhara movement become very clear. And when you are mindful and heedful, you hardly think. That's why not until your mindfulness has become so stable, the real satipatthana, or four foundation of mindfulness practices, cannot arise. Yeah. You remember I used to share? When you are able to be mindful in the midst of life, very stable, that is only the beginning of the real meditation, the real satipatthana. A lot of people didn't take it seriously, I tell you. You think by going sit, go to retreat, develop a lot of ability to become calm, peaceful, mindful, or progress already. That one is still a conditioned state. Of course, literally, when you can have more peacefulness, more calmness, more silence, it's a sign of progress. But the real progress is wisdom, understand? Nothing else free you except wisdom. If you go there because the condition is so conducive and you are able to calm yourself down, settle down, and develop all this mind state, don't be too happy, understand? Of course, comparatively, compared to your moments of what they call heedless living, this is already a great improvement, understand? But unless that Dhamma really settle down and go deep into your nature, through your silent mind, you awaken and understand, it is not going to make any difference to you. That's why I used to tell a lot of cultivators in the early days, you think by going to retreat, go for formal meditation, go for all these courses and all those things, 9 days, 10 days, 30 days, 40 days, or sometimes 6 months, 3 months, you think it's going to make any difference to you? You don't understand all this. It's not going to make any difference to you. Because after you are out of the retreat, or out of the whatever course, you will be back to square one, I tell you. The moment you go back to daily life, you realize nothing has changed, hardly ever changed. You still got fear, self-delusion. You still can become excited. You still have phobia. You still have all this, what they call attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. And your sankhara is still very erratic. Because without wisdom, without understanding, the yoniso manasikara cannot arise. And at the moment of sense experience, even when your mind has this fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness, you cannot deal. You cannot understand what this is. But if you already awaken or reflect or contemplate until this understanding is very stable inside you, at any time, any place, anywhere, any moment, the moment the sankhara try to move or stir, the awareness will be aware. Then the understanding will come. Sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang. Straight away it says. Like what happened to Engbi last time when he reported the universal manasikara.
wisdom upon sense experience. You have means you have. You cannot learn. If you have not awakened, you have not reflected, contemplated, and it has not stabilized in you, you cannot deal. You can only deal when it is already there. Then any time, any place, anywhere, any moment, it will arise. And it will arise exactly at that timing to let you understand. Then straight away your mind state becomes different. Then straight away this one, no movement. Yeah. Of course, initially, it takes a while, understand that. Then you have to reflect again, contemplate, and like stabilize it. And then you overcome that thing. Later on, before it even stir, straight away, the understanding is there. It cannot move here, no movement at all. That's why I used to tell you all, you may see me speaking, sharing, doing all these things, but inside, no movement at all. Why? Because that nature is like that. It's already like that. It's part of that nature, part of you. That's why it doesn't need to do anything. And the movement, the manifestation is from that nature, the understanding. And that understanding connected to this form and mind. That's why this form and mind share the Dhamma. Understand? That's why they call it the Dhamma body that shares the Dhamma, Dhammakaya. Yeah. But the understanding has to come in, that Sambhogayakaya, like what the Buddha developed. But he had not developed that type of intense cultivation from the past. Very difficult to have this ability to teach and share this way. Because if you just cultivate to free your mind, to liberate yourself, you have not perfected all those things that the Bodhisattva did, it's very difficult to teach. Yeah. It's just like you only pass form 5, understand? Yeah. How can you teach? Maybe you can teach up to form 4, form 5. You're already fantastic, I tell you. Means you have to do your own self-study and all those things. Yeah. So you are limited by what you understand. Yeah. Then when you go to Form 6, again, there are a lot of things that the Form 5 people never learn. Yeah. Then as you go to university, you realize there is a lot more. Then not until you have all those understanding, if it is not complete, it's not easy to teach and to share. Because at that level where you understand, you may think it's right, right according to you. At another level, another being's understanding, there is no right, no wrong. Right and wrong is still relative, a conditioned reality. Then when they penetrate to that level, you realize you cannot understand them. There is no more a convention. It's no more a knowledge. It's an understanding. And when they have the understanding, they are not rigid. They are very fluid. They echo and they flow. And their mind is so different. There is so much clarity. And it understands all aspects of life, existence, and cultivation. That's why there is a big difference whether to what level you can share and you can teach. Yeah. But no worry. What is important is you have to slowly, steadily, with the faith, with the sincerity and the perseverance, just cultivate. And you will never know what your nature is. The moment you cultivate sincerely through faith, you connect, I can tell you, you will have a shock of your life. Some of you have that nature without you knowing. When it comes, when it gets connected, you can see unfolding. Yeah. It's just like what happened to my nature. I tell you, I reflected back now. Because when I was young, I also inquired. You know, when I was form 4, form 5, I looked at the sky, you remember? I used to tell you all. And I saw all the stars. I cannot understand. But finally, I only had deep inside tell me I must meditate. That's it. Then at that time, I was reflecting and contemplating, though. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing in this planet. And it's just one of the miserable small planet of this sun, no? Third from the sun. Then out of the 6 billion population, you're only one minute one. No? And you think you're very great. No? Then after that, as I grew up, as I go to university, when I was in my 3rd year, I still have this thought, no? What am I doing here? I realize the courses they teach are not really relevant, no? I got no confidence to be a civil engineer, no, when I was in 3rd year. I said, next year, 1 more year, finish, no? And deep inside, like meditation, if you have not cultivated, you know, no, you are not ready to be an engineer. Because all the industrial practices, the design, all those things, you know next to nothing. You know, the practical experience and all those things. Then later on, in my final year only, I start to understand. But only in the final year, they teach me everything that is relevant to my job and all those things. And I like my final year paper. I did very well. I love every subject. They teach me all sorts of things. Management. And management is a hell of a big paper. And the real design, everything, final year only come out. That's why after that, I knew already. Not only I'm confident, I know what a civil engineer is. That's why I went through the whole industry. Then, like I say, as I went through all this, then I look back. I say, how can you ever believe that your life can become like that? You can end up like that. With all this understanding and all this thing happening, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come, and all the great beings, they can just come. How can life be so perfect? Like you are so lucky, so blessed. There's nothing to do with luck. Then you realize all this come from understanding, nothing else, and it can be done. That's why for you all to be born in the sasana, able to become a human being, and able to have the condition to come into contact with the sasana, do you know your parami is really, really, they call in Cantonese, mkantan, you understand? Pujentan. The Mandarin word, correct? Pujentan. Means you have your parami, but you doubt. Your thought don't understand. That's why I say do, don't ask. Then when the time comes, you will understand. Then whatever coming obstruction that you created, you will just wipe it off. Because this is the condition, this window. You can have this understanding. And you determine, aspire. But your parami during the sasana is exceptionally powerful. Like I used to explain, every of these 2-3 hour of session, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, or even our retreat, or any of this house dana sharing, if you can understand the amount of merit, blessing, and parami that you have, because the way we prepare all this puja, the chanting and all those things, and all the aspiration for you to make, and the bodhisattva vow, is for you to create the causes and conditions for your dhamma practice, your cultivation, your perfection, to move on its own. The vow will take you along. You don't have to do anything. The adhitana will pave the way for all this to happen. That's why I used to tell you all, this nature never do anything. It comes, it just echo and flow, and everything just unfold. Are you going to tell me I plan all this in my past life? No. It's not I plan. I make the vow, that's it. How it happened, no need to know. Because you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for it to unfold, and that is the most powerful. Because you don't want to know how it happened. But out of this understanding, because of your merits, your blessing, your whatever wholesomeness, this one is so pure, so sincere, developed through understanding, and you invoke the power of truth and merits and blessing. That's why it's very powerful. It will override a lot of other conditions and cause things to arise. It will pave the way for a lot of wholesomeness. to arise. And the timing, everything, you will understand by itself. You don't have to do anything. That's why you must know how to create affinity with great beings' nature. Request their protection, guidance, and blessing. Life after life. Have gratitude towards them. Thank them profusely. Pay your respect. Pay your homage. Chant their forehead. And develop all this understanding. But they have their vow. Their vow will carry you along. And it's not difficult when you understand. Okay? sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any more questions? I need a drink. My throat a bit dry. You got any question you can ask? So we should thank Pamasuri for the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you all must ask. Don't be shy. Forget about the thought. Speak out. Because this is Dhamma sharing. It's not that there is authority over you. No. You can also learn to express yourself. And this is very good training. It will help you a lot. Where you can express yourself very well. Means you have the understanding. And this is the best place for you to try. Understand? No? You don't have to worry about making mistakes. Just say whatever you want to say. I remember when I was in the uni, the final year, I went to this counseling class. Yeah, I realized that counselor was very good. You know how he teach or not? He get all the 40 over of us that register. Then he put us all sit around a big hall, all the chair, everything. Then he give each person one sheet. Just a 2-page short story about something. Then after that, he asked us to brainstorm. Then one by one he will call and ask you to express what is your understanding of the story and which are the personality that you like the best and you don't like the most. So you have to learn to express and you have to come up with your own understanding. And when he reached my turn, he was very happy with me because he realized my thinking, my understanding very different. I highlighted the best personality that I like, actually out of love and compassion. Because it was a story of a lady who was raped, understand? Then I say, I like this character because this is the most important character. This is the character you can understand, a lot of things can come out of it. I say, she is the victim of circumstances. Where people tend to look down upon this type of victim, understand? Because of what happened to them. That is like a very shameful thing and all those things, like a very bad happening and all those things. But I say, this is the reality. Our world, our planet, there is a lot of such things. But there, I cannot say it's karma, because it's a mixed group. You got all sorts of religion there. About 40 of us, I remember. There, a lot of them try to dress quite well when they come. Then they also have to prepare themselves for their job. Because you have to attend job interview. You don't know how to express yourself. You will lose out. Then for those who already have a job, you have to attend meeting. You must know how to express yourself. Otherwise, in the meeting, you cannot perform. You cannot get promoted. Understand? You cannot express what you understand. Then they cannot see your potential. They will not pick you for that important role and all those things. That's why this is a very good way of learning, interaction, and improve yourself. Learning how to express things clearly. You can understand the point. Those who already work very long, maybe they already know how to communicate and express themselves. But not everybody can do that. And most of them, I realize, especially the Chinese educator, I realize they are very shy. They dare not speak too much. They dare not express themselves. Whereas the Western education, I tell you, small, small thing, they probe you on, they question you left and right. I remember when I went to Perth, invited by Chi Wei and Peng to the house to deliver a Dhamma session. Wow, these people really ask questions, I tell you. And very interesting, because their questions are all very interesting. And they really, we call it what? They can actually point blank one, no? Very direct one, no? They ask you. They are not like Asian, no? Paisei, I don't want to like antagonize you or hit you or what. They really ask the type of question. It's like really press you to the wall. Oh, because they are molang. They're very frank. Even I was told, our Achan Achalo also, like that one, he was from Australia also. He got this. I heard from Joyce. Because they all are that one. Anything, they don't feel good. They express it out and they ask you one, direct one. Oh. Sometimes, why you don't reply my email? Huh. They are very sensitive one. Huh. They don't know what you think. And I said, no. That's why after Joy told me, then only I reply. Otherwise, most of the email, unless got condition, I don't reply. So, all this, you have to understand, we are different place, different culture, and you learn different things. So I hope with today's sharing, you learn how to ask questions and express yourself. Like Paramahansa, learn how to share, express yourself. Whatever you go through, you just have to speak exactly how you feel it. Then my nature know how to explain it to you. Then from there, the condition will arise. You saw that she didn't ask any question. She just talked about her experience. And from there, the whole teaching can come out. That's why it's not about the question. It's about creating the condition for you to express yourself, to learn, to develop understanding. And through that, you create condition for others to learn. That's why I like group sharing. Even last time, they used to tell me, "Practice your meditation. Why you mix all the newcomer? Some of them they don't like, Especially when I went and teach in Burma, they reminded me a few times. Can we separate into two groups? But they thought beginner one wasting time. You got to spend more time on that. Then they thought they very experienced. So they want faster one." No need so much instruction. Otherwise, every time come repeat. But they don't know what it means. Like you all know, repeat means good. You can listen to it again. We are always from other angle, other approaches. The Dhamma flower differently. But because that time, maybe they don't have the condition and the understanding. That's why it was so different. Then I have to find a way to explain to them, but I find it very difficult. Then my nature is, if I separate them, I create segregation. Understand that? Then I also have to waste more time, because I have to spend time with the new one. Then I have to spend time with all these who claim not to be so new or more advanced. So it's not about new or old or advanced. Because this sharing is for all level, understand not? Even if you already enlightened, you will be very amazed that when you listen, there is a lot more thing that you can learn. Because this teaching is very different. This sharing is very different. It's meant for all level, the same language, the same explanation. But if you have that type of potential from the past, you cultivate before, you receive very fast. And you can receive, even at whatever level, you can receive. But if you go and discriminate all this, thinking that you are advanced, then it's very difficult for you to learn. Because learning is not about high or low. Learning is about listening attentively to what is being shared. And you can listen attentively and understand Then you benefit. That's it. You look at Hui Ning, illiterate woodcutter. When he go and meet up with the fifth patriarch, what did the fifth patriarch ask him? And from the way he answer, I tell you, a lot of those monks inside don't understand what he's trying to tell the fifth patriarch. And you think he is newer. He's a fresher. He already have that thing. Sometimes you don't know. They may come like new, completely haven't heard the Dhamma. But I like this type because they are clean slate. No wrong view. Very easy to teach. And I realize those with clean slate, they understand very fast. Because they are not so complicated in their approach to truth. They just listen and they have faith and they receive very fast. That's why a lot of new people later on, they learn very fast. Yeah. I remember Alicia used to tell me, Pratyo, what is this rising, falling, vipassana, all those things, samatha, all those things. He never heard before. I said, no need to know. No need to know. Better to have a clean slate. And a lot of them, first time they come, bull's eye, understand? No need to get lost everywhere. You know why? Yeah, the condition is there. Like Alicia, 16 years of depression, suddenly come. He straight away understand and move so fast. That's why it's not about who you are. Whether you are fresh, you're new to Dhamma, you're illiterate, or you are PhD holder. That one, to me, not important. The important thing is whether you are serious about life or not, this life. When you come, if you are serious, you listen attentively, you will benefit tremendously. You will pick up very fast. You will learn very fast. And deep inside, once activated, that form and mind will know. They will know. Then they know this one is different. That's why they will keep on coming. Then they will start to ask questions and all those things. But I realize after a while, all these people see, or everybody also quiet, they also quiet. So hopefully, after today's sharing, it can give you the understanding and motivation to change. Change for the better. To interact more. To have a what they call two-way traffic. So that this sharing become meaningful. Because it's no more like last time. You need the Dhamma. But the Dhamma is all in the transcript and the recording. What you need is come here. Don't even have to take note. Listen attentively. You want to take note, can. After that, you go back, reflect, contemplate, and write down like Mimi. But when you come here, you just listen attentively. Let it go. Don't even try to remember anything. Just listen attentively and let it sink into your nature. My wife's alarm clock, 10:30. So we better stop. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can do our sharing of merits. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang animoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. Itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kwayin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
讲。
讲不用 respond 了啦，这个是
respond。你还是问你问我们才叫，你攻击不到有人会讲。一样的，你在这国呢，不说，你不说也不可能。一样的。